This is episode 182 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. 2021. Here we are. This first week probably didn't go as any of us planned, so I hope in this week you're breathing deeper and you're finding a grounded footing with a solid focus on how you are going to show up in the world in your purpose and passion, for tending to the work at hand in your business and how you are going to make an impact in the world. If there's one thing I learned in 2020, it's to take care of ourselves first, to breathe more deeply, and then to show up for our communities and all of our light and our fire. I know I had to make space for lots of breathing already this year. I've been reflecting a lot on my theme for the year, soft lines. I choose soft lines because there is an expansiveness and an openness in the energy of soft lines. The first week was certainly a good test of this theme, and there were certainly moments that soft lines didn't really prevail. All the more reason, it's probably the right theme for me, and yes, I've got work to do. But I love this theme. I love the energy of soft lines. It feels so good when I let that in. I'd love to hear from you. What is your word or your theme for the year? Did it test you in this first week as it did me? One of the things I'm being called to turn my focus to in 2021 is leadership and the leadership role that we have as entrepreneurs and as women. So often, I think that entrepreneurs forget that we are truly our leaders in our communities, in our work. Each of us has to be really clear. If the whole world could hear one message from you, what would it be? And then set the course for putting this message out in the world as a leader. I've been reminding my clients of the importance of the role of leadership, especially as we kick off in this year. And this means doing leadership in a different way, right? I think us as women, that we as women have an ability to step up into leadership roles and lead with softer lines, show up and be a leader with more compassion and collaboration and connection. And so when I talk about leadership, I think this is the opportunity that's here before us. And I'm super excited to be really bringing more of this into the world. Consider this question. What's the role? What is your role in leadership right now? Right? You've got a message to be taking out into the world. The whole world could hear one message from you. What would it be? And then what's your role as a leader right now? These are such important questions and some of the things that I want to start covering more in my Extraordinary Women Connect Facebook group in this whole first quarter I'm going to dedicate towards leadership. I'm going to be bringing on some of Brené Brown's Dare to Lead work to the forefront. One of my clients just recently did some of her training in Dare to Lead, and I'm super excited myself to even be learning from her. So we'll be bringing some of that forward. We've got Soul Speaks from the Stage speaker training. So it's really about speaking our soul messages. We've got the Wild Woman Writing Retreat. So it's about writing our words out and finding our leadership with our words. And if you're not on my Extraordinary Women Connect Facebook group, please join in all the conversations that we're going to be having, because every week we are going to be putting some focus on leadership. What's our role in leadership? And even here on Extraordinary Women Radio, I'm going to really turn this focus over onto leadership as well. Today's guest is a great guest to kick this off with. Jen Coffel is the CEO of Engaging Speakers. Engaging Speakers is a chapter-based organization that helps entrepreneurs speak their way to more business. And Jen and I did this interview last fall, right before Ignite, but I think it's apropos to bring it out this week. I'm excited to bring her stories and her wisdom to you. Jen is a successful business coach. She is a best-selling author with 4 books and is a philanthropist. She shares some beautiful, heart-uplifting stories today that will make you smile. And then she digs into some real meatiness and business wisdom and the divine happenings that led her to her tremendous business success. With 2 decades of business experience, Jen built her first 4 businesses to 6 figures each, all in under a year and all in different industries. She has helped over 1,000 entrepreneurs build their businesses, with many reaching 6-figure and 7-figure revenue. Jen has an innovative and down-to-earth speaking style audiences love. We dig into virtual speaking, the importance of owning our core genius and core values. Jen is most proud of founding her own international nonprofit, Handling Hope, which brings comfort and smiles to children battling cancer in 12 states and 3 countries around the world. She has been featured on Inc.com, ABC News, and the Chicago Tribune. Jen has been mentored by speaking icons like Jack Canfield and Sandra Yancey and has spoken on stage to over 10,000 people. I'm super excited to introduce you to Jen Coffel. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Jen. It is so great to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Cammie. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, and we met on the Dames. Our good friend Megan Conter introduced us, and the Dames is all about women who have 6- and 7-figure businesses. And Megan reached out and said the two of us need to know each other, and I think she was absolutely correct, because yeah. I love what you're doing in the world and helping women really step into their speaking capabilities and expand and grow, and you know everything that you're doing is so impressive right now.
Thank you. Yeah, the Dames community is awesome. It's a great place to meet amazing women.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to start with your personal story. Let's start. You have had 2 decades of wild success building multiple 6- and 7-figure businesses. Tell us a little bit about your journey that you've come through to get to this place.
Well, my first business was actually I had a driver rehabilitation business. I taught people with disabilities how to drive. I was an occupational therapist.
Oh, wow.
And so, with occupational therapy, you're taught to be a jack of all trades, a master of none. You know, you're taught from newborns to the elderly. And I actually worked in every area that you can as an occupational therapist. And I fell in love with driver's rehab. One of my core values is freedom, and I loved being able to give people their keys to independence again. So after they had a stroke or, you know, maybe a chronic illness that started to deteriorate their ability to use their extremities, I would come in and teach them how to use hand controls or left foot accelerator, steering devices, all kinds of things, and get them independent.
How did you get into the realm of knowing even how to do that?
Well, there was only one school that I knew of that taught it that I actually went to in Florida, they worked with occupational therapists and teach that certification. It's a specific certification. And there was only 11 of us in the state of Illinois that had the certification. And then in Illinois, I also had to become a state licensed driving instructor. So there was an occupational therapist, a certified driver rehab specialist, and a state licensed driving instructor. And I opened up my own private practice. And it was the only independent practice that was in the state that wasn't, you know, connected to a hospital, because hospitals are great, you know, referral feeder sources. And I wanted to create one that, you know, I could actually go to people's homes and, you know, cause they couldn't drive. So I wanted to provide a service where they could come to my center or I could go to their home and do their evaluation and teach them how to get back their independence. So it was really successful. I totally loved doing it. But I tried for 6 years to have children. And I wanted to be a mom. And once I had my first, I decided to sell the business. And we tried 6 years. So my first wasn't, I ended up adopting a little girl. And that was like a total surprise. I was working full time and I got a call on a Monday that this baby was born. We were not in like any type of like adoption, you know, process at all.
Oh, wow.
We had been on a prayer list at our church for 6 years. And the lady that was the secretary at the church ended up you know, calling because she was the one that was taking care of this baby. The baby was planned to be adopted, but the birth mom was not comfortable with the plan after the baby was born because she didn't want the baby to go out of state, and the adoption plan included the baby moving out of state. So she was looking for more of an open adoption. And so here the baby was like a week old and the secretary was in her 50s and she was getting up every few hours taking care of her. And she was like, you know, you need to make a decision. And there's this couple that have tried for a long time. They've been on our prayer list for a long time. Would you be open to meeting her and her husband? And she said, yeah. So she called me on a Monday and said that, you know, this baby was born and, you know, would I be open to meeting the baby? And I was like completely, you know, like shocked, like wasn't on any kind of like list or anything. But God had another.
You were on the prayer list.
Yes, I was on the prayer list and got another plan. So, you know, that was a Monday night. The next night we went over and met her. And I mean, then it was a totally divine experience.
Like, oh, wow. Like, what a beautiful story.
It was just amazing. And, you know, soon it was like I walked in the door and she put my daughter in my arms and I knew she was my daughter. It was a very much of a spiritual, like, totally divine appointment and experience that I will never, ever forget. And she's been the joy of her life. She's now 18 years old. She's going to be 19 next month.
I have got goosebumps all up and down my arms. It's such, yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful.
And we named her Madison Joy, and Joy is her middle name. And she has been really the joy of our lives. And she's just an amazing young woman in so many different ways. And I know that, you know, she was meant to be ours, and she was everything I dreamed about. And so 5 months into like being her mom, we had the opportunity to do IVF, and then we got pregnant with twins.
Oh, wow.
So she's 14 months old and these two baby twins come. And so we had a boy, girl, Luke and Lindsay. And, you know, in that process, like of having her, I'm like, I want to be home with her. You know, I had a full-time practice. And I had to like, you know, when she said we could have her, we got her on Friday, and here I had to like clear my schedule.
From that Monday. Was it from that Monday you got her on? Wow.
I got her on Friday. And so, you know, she actually said Tuesday and we met her, and the birth mom said on Wednesday she'd like us to have her. And then Thursday, the lady's like, well, you have tomorrow to get ready, because I'm bringing her Friday. And she brought her Friday, and it was like, she was ours. And we had to go through obviously the whole like legal process and, you know, all of that after the fact, after we already had her, which was really surprising and totally different than what most people experience, but it's what happened. And then that made me realize like how much I, you know, really wanted to be a mom. And so even though I loved my business, I really wanted to be a mom and be able to be the one that was home with her and, you know, be there for everything after I tried so long. So I was again, very blessed that, you know, I was able to sell the business because like I said, there was only a few of us in the state that were certified to do that work. And so I ended up finding somebody. That was another divine appointment. I happened to have been at a like job fair and, met somebody that had given me their resume and said, you know, if I ever was looking for help for my business, that he would be interested. And then I called him and he was interested in buying it. So he's still running today, 2 years later, it's still thriving, which is such a great feeling after you give birth to your business.
Right.
You know, it's still doing well. It's a great feeling. But yeah, so then I was able to sell it. This is all happening at the same time, right? So I get the baby, I have this thriving business, but then I get pregnant with twins. Like it's like all happening simultaneously. And, you know, the twin pregnancy was, you know, created more urgency to, you know, to get him trained and up and running and taking it over. So then a year later, my body started working on its own and I got pregnant on my own. So
oh, wow.
This is how I ended up with a 3-year-old, 2-year-old twins and a newborn and broke. Because the money that I sold the business for, I thought that the money I sold the business for was going to be enough to get me through the time when my first daughter, Madison, and the twins, you know, got through school. I mean, through the young years until they started school, I thought, well, I'll just go back to school. I thought I'll just go back to work while they're entering school. But then I got pregnant with the last one. I was like, oh my gosh, this is just really overwhelming. And the money that I sold the practice for was gone. Adoption is expensive. IVF is expensive. Kids are expensive. And we were putting like $1,000 on our credit cards every month. And that was starting to snowball. And I was, you know, here I'd never been in the situation before. We, you know, both had professional jobs and then I started my business and it was, you know, I got that to 6 figures in less than 12 months and it was doing really well. And then here we are broke, you know, four children, three and under, and credit card, you know, debt starting to accumulate and no way to pay it off and never been in the situation. And I was like at a crossroad, like, what am I going to do? You know, how much would it cost to put four kids in daycare? And I didn't want to put four kids in daycare.
Right.
So I had to start another business. That was my solution. You know, I had to start another business where I could work around my children from home.
So what was that business that you started at that point?
So I clicked on an ad about working from home, and it was a network marketing business. Uh-huh. And I had never heard of network marketing. You know, I'd only done professional work and, you know, as far as being a therapist and working in hospitals and different environments and then starting that business. So I started actually working from home doing network marketing for a company called Melaleuca.
And, oh, I love Melaleuca. I'm a Melaleuca client.
Are you?
Yeah.
And I built the largest business in Illinois with the company. I've made over $2.5 million. And I treated it like a business, like I treated it like a traditional business. And focused on helping moms create a safe and healthy home and teaching moms how to, you know, actually have a business from home and about business. And I actually, in that business, discovered my love for coaching people in business. You know, I
had never... Because you were helping others in that space.
Exactly. And I had no idea how much love I had for that. And that's really where that birthed my desire to, you know, my awareness of that core genius of mine, you know, to really help women in business. Like, how do you build a six-figure business in less than 12 months?
Right.
Because with all those kids, like, I built that business to, you know, six figures in less than 12 months. And it was just like that was like the next stepping stone for me, was learning how much I love to coach and how much I love to help women, you know, grow a business and have that independence and be able to have the freedom, you know. Again, it goes back to freedom. Like, freedom is one of my core values, and giving women that freedom to, you know, to be able to make decisions and how they, you know, spend their time.
So you talk about building four businesses to six figures in less than 12 months. What was this all at once? Was this separate time frame? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, well, the driver rehab business I shared with you, I opened that in 1999. I graduated from occupational therapy school in 1993. And then I sold that practice in 2001. Mm-hmm. And then I started that network marketing business and built that to six figures. And that was in like 2004-05. And then in there is where I found my joy for doing coaching for women in business. Mm-hmm. And so then I built that business, coaching business, to six figures for business coaching. Mm-hmm. And that came probably like 10 years later.
Okay.
That I did that. And in all these different businesses, and the driver rehab business, the network marketing, coaching, I used speaking as a marketing strategy to find my ideal clients. And that's when the opportunity came to actually buy the organization Engaging Speakers. I started in 2003 by Gail Brown. She's the founder. And she had some health challenges and decided to sell. And so I purchased it in 2018 because it really was a great complement to everything that I've been doing. So I've just been adding businesses as time goes on. So I still, you know, the only business that I don't have right now that I did have was the driver rehab business.
Okay.
Everything else I've just been adding.
Okay. And that's a really unique strategy to have these different building blocks, but actually that really do fit together. I mean, I see the way these all fit together. Your business coaching, the speaking definitely fit together. And the Melaleuca is very much about health, right? So there's that wellness aspect of things. So I think that those fit so nicely together. When you think back to because a lot of people, you know, there's people out there that are really in this, they're launching their businesses and they have this goal to reach $100,000. What is it? What's your advice to them that helps them, you know, really step into that? How do you accelerate that growth like you did in such a short amount of time for that?
Well, I really believe that whatever business that you build, you really want to make sure it's centered around your core genius, that your core profits are really attached to your core genius. And it's not really making a decision to go build any business. It's really making the decision to build the business you are meant to build or businesses you're meant
totally.
To build.
Totally. So I agree with that.
And so it's like, I believe if you break down core genius, what's at your core? What were you created to do? And then your genius is what you studied, what you become an expert in based on that. And, you know, if you ever look at, you know, and watch the Voice or America's Got Talent, when you watch somebody that is standing in their truth,
right,
they're doing what they were created to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have missing teeth and not be dressed really well, or maybe they're not the most, you know, beautiful, you know, what society say would be, what is a description of beauty, but there are certainly people like that apply and are on those shows, but oftentimes they're not the ones that win. The ones that win are the ones that are beautiful because, and they're so attractive because they're standing in their core genius.
Yeah. That light, right?
Yeah. They're standing in their truth. They're doing what they were created to do, and they've studied and they've become an expert and they've really honed their craft, but they're really like, know what they're meant to do. And it comes through. And I find that's true for entrepreneurship.
Right.
Like, you know, when you really get connected with what you were created to do and you're willing to step out into that. And then of course speaking, you know, if you have that clarity, when you speak, you know, you will emotionally emote, your authenticity, your expert. I mean, of course you need to know and learn just like you would in that, you know, anything, you know, hone your craft and study and be, you know, get those skills. But it's like essentially like at the center of it, I think the piece that makes people successful ethically and quickly are those that are really doing it from the place of their core genius.
I can't agree more with that. I mean, I think there's so much, I mean, in fact, I've been working on this spectrum of, you know, there's this place where we get really confident and then we start standing in that truth of us and we start to stand in that light, that brilliant light that's really aligned to our purpose and why we're here. And when we really step up into that, we get this inner fire in us, right? And that's where we actually can be in a space of resonating on our highest vibration that we can have in the world, right? And that's when people really start to take notice, when we step into that space. And it's fun that you brought up America's Got Talent and The Voice. I love The Voice. I've watched The Voice for years. And the other one, I can't think of the other one right now, but I've got my 3-day conference coming up in November, and I've got Christina Wells, who was a finalist on America's Got Talent. And she's got that light. So she's coming to speak to us, and she's also going to sing for us at the conference. And she's got that light, and she's so powerful. And when I first saw her I was watching a YouTube video of her, and it's like I was getting goosebumps, right? So it's like that when somebody is just in that genius of who they are, it's just, there's nothing like that. And I share that passion with you on helping women really step into that allness of them. And, it's so cool. So I love that that's what you do. When you talk about your core values and your core genius, what are the gifts of you that really sparked your fire as you were building these businesses?
Well, one thing that you mentioned was the core values. And for me, I think that is something that I wish I would have learned those at the very beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. Like I wish I knew what those were, because they are so powerful at really helping with making decisions in your business and in your life. And they also are key to like fulfillment, like what makes you feel fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I discovered my core values probably about, they would say about 10 years ago. And I had obviously had, you know, businesses for many years, over 10 years prior to that. And I made I remember one really costly mistake. I for my network marketing business, I was needing to train teams and also meet people and do recruiting. And that was getting challenging. And so I decided to open up a business center, which was a great solution to to that the challenges I was having in the business. But it was a terrible decision for me because it went completely against one of my core values, which was freedom, time freedom. And at the time that I took the core values assessment, I found myself really disliking my business and also recognizing that I had given out 14 keys. I had actually went and kept making more keys and giving more keys out so that I didn't have to go drive to this business center, open it up in the morning and close it at night. It was affecting my time freedom. And that recognition actually made me realize I need to close this business center because this core value is one of my core values and it's not going to change. And I'm never going to be happy, you know, in this business model with the way I'm doing it. And I had loved my business prior to that. And it was a good business solution for the challenge I was having, but it wasn't good for me.
Right.
And I think that's a key thing. Like, you know, when I work with clients now, you know, and I'm not really, I mean, mindset will be something that we'll work on, you know, I will do some mindset work with people because mindset comes before skill set, but my coaching is generally very results driven and very strategy and, you know, generating leads, making sales and building, getting to six figures. Like that's really my focus. But I do make sure every client does a core values assessment because I recognize when it comes to making decisions, like this way, go, you know, make this decision, make that decision. There's so many decisions we come across as entrepreneurs to solve problems that if we know our core values, we can really align our decisions with those. Like we can go and actually use those as a decision-making tool. Or another way to use the core values is if you find yourself really not feeling fulfilled, like you're just feel off and you look at your life and you think, I have all these ingredients to have an amazing life. Why do I feel off inside? And whenever I start to feel that way personally, I will actually do an inventory and think, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how much am I expressing this core value? And my 5 core values are God, family, freedom, generosity, and personal development. And nice. So when I feel off, I'll just go and run through those 5 and say on a scale of 1 to 10, how much am I expressing that core value? And wherever there's like, you know, a one that's not being expressed, you know, at a 9 or 10, then that's where I get my attention to. Like I start doing activity, making adjustments so that I can fix that because it's never going to change. That's one of the things I've really learned about core values is like they don't change. And then we need, if we learn to embrace them, use them to make decisions, feed them, you know, with activities that will help them to be fully expressed, the happier and the more fulfilled we'll be.
Right. I love that. I in my book, Fire Dancer, I talk about values a lot. And there's an exercise that we go through and I actually look at it from, there's our soul values, the ones that we always will have. So I think they're just exactly in alignment with your core values. And then we have our shape-shifting values that, you know, things that do shift. I mean, our kids grow up and, you know, so our values shift, right? So I think it's really important that we know those core values like you're talking about. And it's also important that we continue, like you're saying, you continually look at them and come back home to those core values that you've got. And just also wonder, be curious about, has anything else shifted, you know, because life has shifted. I'm guessing that even in 2020, a lot of our values have shifted. Because it's just such a crazy year, right? I mean, it's like suddenly we're longing for that. I'm longing for more of that, you know, one-on-one connection and that sort of thing. So it's,
I would wonder if like, is the value shift or is it because the environment has changed and how like it is allowing us to express our value? You know, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if the things have changed so much that it's impacting how we normally would express our value, we can feel an impact of that.
Right.
But then the question is, okay, because things have changed, I can't express this the way I have been, the way I'm used to it. You know, so now I need to make adjustments and change.
Yeah. I definitely think 2020 has a lot of that reflection in it. I really do. I think that, you know, it's just none of us could have predicted this year. So let's talk a little bit about the whole, I know speaking has been an intricate part of your business, right? This it's what's helped you grow your business so rapidly. So why do you love speaking? Why was it that you said yes to when you bought the Engaging Speakers business. And, you know, what was the call to speaking for you?
Well, I've seen how powerful it is. You know, you hear in marketing, you know, people do business who they know, like, and trust. And, you know, I think speaking is the best opportunity for people to get to know, like, and trust you, because mm-hmm. they get the opportunity to listen and, you know, for you to be able to share. And so for that reason, I think that it's really powerful. I really wasn't running into that opportunity, to be honest with you, to buy Engaging Speakers. I was already, you know, running several businesses, and I have a nonprofit, and I was actually in a place where I was like, you know what, this is a great opportunity, but I didn't really want to do it. So I actually had to talk about, like, you know, going back to your soul. I like how you look at core values, what you're talking about differently, like soul values and shifting. I think that's really another layer of another, I'd love to know more about, like, your work in that. But for me, I had to actually wrestle with God about that, because I know that ultimately now, years later, I know that this was what I was meant to do. And there's so much confirmation that was what I was supposed to do, but I was running from it.
That's so funny. It's like, you're like, no, I'm not going, but it kept probably pulling you back into it.
I mean, I feel like I was, like, kind of being made to feel miserable until I surrendered. I was like, I remember I was, like, on vacation in Dominican Republic, and I was, like, not even enjoying myself, because I felt like I just was, like, being chased around by, you know, like, you know, I don't know. It was just a totally, like, spiritual pressure that, you know, like, this is what I was meant to do. I was just so resistant to it. And I finally surrendered. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, I'm not making any promises it's going to turn out well, because I really felt like I had zero bandwidth. You know, I was so, like, I like to do things well, and I just didn't think I had the bandwidth to do it. But as soon as I surrendered and said, okay, I'm going to do this, that feeling went away, and I had peace again. And then, you know, it's been an amazing decision. Like, I'm really grateful for it, because to your point, like, why do I, you know, I just see the power of it. Like, I can't tell you how many people, you know, I just even love, like, your Extraordinary Woman, like, how many women and men even that, you know, there's a message they have to share and they want to make an impact. And there's no faster way to do that than to leverage your time and be able to do that in front of many people, as right. opposed to just one-on-one, which, you know, without that speaking opportunity, you know, that's oftentimes what our businesses are like, right? Where you're working with people one-on-one, you know, you're having one-on-one conversations, you know, working with them one-on-one, but speaking is that opportunity to really leverage and, you know, do one to many.
Yeah. I love speaking too. And it's, I want to keep going down that, but before I do, I want to just go back to this comment that you made about, you were worried about the bandwidth, right? The bandwidth that is like, how can I possibly take this on? And when you surrendered into it, what happened from the bandwidth perspective for you? I mean, what did saying yes to that opportunity do and shift for you in your business as a CEO? How did that work out, I guess?
You know, one thing I really learned in the role of CEO is how much time is to team is to time. You know, mm-hmm. one of my core values is time. Mm-hmm. As like cash is to capital. You know, team is what creates the time. And there's no way I can run the organization Engaging Speakers without the team that right. you know, that has come alongside and the people that have been invested in Engaging Speakers. Like, Gail Brown has done an amazing job of building really amazing relationships. Mm-hmm. And there are people that are still intricately a part of that organization that have been around since 2003, 2004, that okay. have, like, just really committed mm-hmm. to that organization. So bringing those that, not everybody that, you know, when I bought the company, everybody came, you mm-hmm. know, with, but right. Many did. And then, of course, I've brought in a lot of other new team. But for me, it's been like really getting better at, you know, delegating, getting better right. in the role of CEO and really building team and knowing what's needed and running a company versus being a solo entrepreneur. You know, right. they're very different experiences.
Exactly. Exactly. No, and that's, I think that's a, and I like what you, I like how you're equating team to time and really, and I'm bringing that in and how that freed you up so you could be doing other aspects of your work, you know, in your genius, right? So that's super cool. That's super cool. Tell everyone, because I love what, engaging speakers is about. So tell everybody just what it is so that, you know, anyone listening might be interested in,
Yeah, our vision is to be the premier global coaching company helping entrepreneurs speak their way to more business. Mm-hmm. So we focus in on, you know, we have chapters like eWomen, the Dames, you know, BNI, you know, all those. Like, so our vision is, our headquarter chapter is Schaumburg, Illinois. We have three chapters in Illinois and one in Wisconsin right now. And we want to have them around the world. But this was the year that we decided we were going to duplicate. And so, of course, COVID hit and that's really impacted our duplication process. But we are getting, we got all our systems and processes in place to duplicate. But when people come and experience a meeting with Engaging Speakers, what they experience is we have a guest speaker come and speaks on some topic related to growing your business. We do hot seat coaching on your 30-second introduction. So people have the opportunity, whoever comes, have the opportunity to put their name in the hat and then get to opportunity to come in front of the room or in front of the, you know, the room at this on Zoom and do their 30-second intro. And then we do coaching on their content as well as their delivery. And then we also have networking. So we have really intentional networking sessions where people get to, you know, obviously build their business through the networking time. And then we end every meeting with gratitude, which is something also that I think has a different culture and feel for our organization. And then for those that have a signature talk that they're working on, we have two Fridays a month where we do a virtual meeting where they can come and be the guest speaker. Mm-hmm. And they get to do 20 minutes of their signature talk. And then they get two speaker coaches as well that do coaching on their content and their delivery.
That's awesome. And it's really reasonable to become a member.
It's $99 to register. And then if you're a virtual member, it's $19 a month. And if you're a complete member, it's where you go, where you can also attend the in-person chapter meetings. It's $39 a month.
Yeah. So it's just such an easy yes to that. And for people to be able to, you know, hone their skill, which is really going to take their business to that next level. So I love that. You know, we do a speaker training called Soul Speaks from the Stage. And I think it's something that I want to feed them into your organization as they step out of it, because it's practice, right? It's community. And it's, so I really love what you do.
So. I love what you just shared too. Soul Speaks from the Stage. It kind of goes back to what we're talking about, like with you said about soul values, right? Like,
yeah.
If you're really like aligned with why you're meant to be here and what you're meant to do, and you take that to the stage, like how beautiful is that?
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, so Soul Speaks is some of my, there's a couple of my clients, Paula Friedland and Lizanne Corbett, who really developed the Soul Speaks platform. And that was really when they first developed it, it was really getting people out of their, you know, the scariness of being on stages and such. And then Paula and I started to partner on this together because I had so many clients that were getting on stages and the, bringing the beauty of like just letting whatever's inside of you come through and learning to trust that, you know, if you get into that soulful place that really creates the most impactful kind of speaking. And we did it last year. So it was the first year of running it last year. And I tell you what, it blew my mind how these women walked out of there with such solid stories and so comfortable where they weren't comfortable when they walked in. And so it was really incredible. And we knew we hit on something pretty magical. And, you know, and then it's like, okay, so we want, and a lot of those women are out speaking virtually right now. So we can talk about that in a moment. And a lot of them are out on podcast and they're getting their messages out right now and it's growing their businesses. I mean, it's working so well. I mean, it's like, you know, they're really catapulting their businesses very quickly from, and a couple of them really literally started at zero and went over six figures in the last 9 months in That's 2020. Right. And so it's so powerful. And so anyway, I'm looking forward to having, you know, partnering with you in the future on that, because I think that that's such a nice fit for that continual honing of your practice.
It's so. Like proof of what we share with people. Like, you know, they'll come on and they'll read their 30-second intro, or they'll, you know, and it's like, if you would just, you know, speak from your, you know, like what you're saying, your, let your soul speak, you'll connect and you'll be engaging. You know, it's like, yes, there's a construct and there is a design that will get you more, definitely more results, right? Yeah. There are strategic designs to your introduction, to your signature talk that will highlight your expertise and attract your ideal clients and increase your conversions and all that stuff. But the most, you know, like foundationally important thing is that you are really speaking from like your core, your yeah. soul, like, you know, that is what's engaging. That's what will attract people. And so I love that. Like, it's total proof.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So let's talk about the virtual stages, right? I mean, it's so many of us have gone to virtual speaking this year. And I know for me, it's definitely a different thing. I'm getting ready to do my 3-day event Ignite virtually. And I'm going to be doing it with a stage and an AV group. But, you know, it's definitely a different thing. And so what's your best tips for those of us doing virtual speaking?
Well, I think it's really important that you recognize, you know, what people are seeing, you know, in your, if you're doing it, like, I love that, you know, we just had a big virtual conference and we did it in a studio and we were just like what you're explaining. So I definitely suggest if you're doing something big like that, that you do it in a studio. And, but again, it is different because you don't have a live audience. Like, you're talking to a camera and you right. really have to imagine, you know, the people there, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you really do have to just imagine you have like those bright lights. You know, have you ever been on stage where you can't see the people because you're the stage is so big and the lights are so bright that you can't really see. So you have to actually put yourself there.
Oh, that's a good way to think about it.
And pretend, you mm-hmm. know, like, you really have mm-hmm. to pretend, because otherwise, you know, it's gonna come across really flat if you don't, like, cause you get so much energy from people, right?
Right.
So you do really need to put yourself in, you know what, your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference, right? So just, if you just get yourself in the feeling state and imagine that you're there, you'll just be able to like connect so much better. But when you are doing, like, oftentimes right now with virtual speaking, we're invited to come on platforms and we're just like in a Zoom room, right?
Right. Right.
So we really need to be mindful though of our lighting. Like, we need to have a ring light. We need to be mindful of like the positioning of our Zoom, like, you know, so that, you know, the camera's not looking up at your nose, mm-hmm. so that it's like, you know, like a level with you or above, so that mm-hmm. like it's flattering, that your background, you really consider, because it can be super distracting
right.
from your speaking. If you have things, sometimes we're, you know, with engaged speakers, we do this all the time. So, I mean, I see people dressed gorgeous and then they're like I've seen people dressed gorgeous. I mean, like, beautiful. Their hair looks great. They have beautiful jewelry on, beautiful jacket, nails done. I mean, they just look awesome. But then they're like in a room where they're like, they look like they just moved and there's like moving boxes all over and like, and I'm thinking, this is so like not aligned, you know?
Right, right.
Or they're at a desk and like their computer, they have like these monitors behind them and they're moving and they're super distracting. It's like, you can't even focus on the person. You know, you want to really look at, like, does my background reflect my brand, the image I want to share? Am I dressed properly? And just all of this, like, visually, because it's your stage.
Right.
You know,
really,
like,
take care with it.
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't bring people into your, you know, it's like, really think about that. You're bringing people into this stage and you're the speaker. So I guess, you know, number one, it would be really pay attention to your, how you look, your lighting, your positioning of your camera, the background, that piece, number one, so you're not creating distractions. And then number two is learning how to, you know, when we teach speaking on stage, you know, use of body language, use of voice, use of the stage. Well, your stage now is this, right? So like when you lean in, you know, how you use your hands, how much of your, like where your position, like, you know, people can't see us. So we, you know, right now it's all, you know, through the radio, but that piece of like, we could just imagine how you're interacting, like with your hands, with your, right. your being a bit attention. Like some people like will rock, they'll do all kinds of things with their body that they don't even realize they're doing. Cause now they're sitting. Right.
Right.
So you have different, things that you might find yourself doing. So I would say, be mindful of all that, because this body language piece is very, you know, you want to use your body language. You want to, like, you know, you may not be somebody that naturally does that. You know, Italians naturally use their hands and, you know, they're very engaging. But if you're not somebody like that, you know, that you might just need to like learn to do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where can I put my hand on my chest, or can I, you know, do something, or can I lean in at certain places or lean back, or, you know, what can I do to really create some engagement from a virtual standpoint?
Yeah. And it creates connection then, right? It's like, it invites people into that space with you in a way that they can start to feel you versus just being one dimensional. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. The one dimensional view of you, give them some dimension to you. I love that.
It's like your personality, like it can actually feel you. And that's what you want them to do. It's like, what's engaging is like feeling. That emotional connection.
Yeah. Well, Jen, this is so much fun. And I was like, I could keep talking with you about speaking stuff all day long. I want to hear about your nonprofit, Handling Hope. It sounds beautiful. Tell us what it is.
So it's Handing Hope.
Oh, Handing Hope. Sorry.
Yeah, Handing Hope. And it's a, we have a lollipop tree project, and it's designed to, for children, that have cancer. And the lollipops are naturally sugar-free. There's no dyes. They're sweetened with a sweetener from a birch tree. They're colorful, and they come on this little wooden tree. So we bring them to hospitals, cancer hospitals for kids that are going through chemotherapy, radiation. And they're not, one of the things that is often taught is that cancer, like sugar feeds cancer. And so parents that are and staff that are, you know, wanting to help give the kids the best chance for healing will, you know, really get the kids on a diet where there's no sugar.
Right.
And if you imagine being a parent and if your kid's not feeling well, like giving a treat is something that you love to do as a parent, just to help bring a smile and, you know, give some comfort. And so that's one thing that's taken away from your parents and from staff, like when kids are hurting, and like also as a kid, like not feeling like you can be a kid, you know, and enjoy treats and things like that. So we just come in and bring these really cute, naturally sugar-free lollipop trees and donate them. And then we send refill bags of lollipops every month to the hospitals. And we're in 3 countries now, I think 18 or 20 some states. And it's just been a project that was birthed out of losing my mom and my dad and my best friend all to cancer. They all died young. They all died within a year and a half. So it was a really challenging time for me. Lots of grief, and they all loved kids. And cancer is a big disease, and it's a big disease for children. So I just felt like I really wanted to do something that would extend their legacy and bring joy from the loss that I had in losing them. So
are you in Colorado?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So I lost my sister to cancer, almost 3 years ago now. And my niece is, part of a nonprofit here in Colorado that's really very focused on, you know, helping, kids who have cancer. So I'll just need to make sure she knows about it, because, I can't think of the name of it right now. I can't think of the name of the organization. But anyway, I will make sure that she's aware, because she's very focused on that as well. So, I'm guessing that must be Children's Hospital in Colorado.
Yes.
Is that? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Well, that sounds beautiful. So what's next for you? And tell us a little bit where people can learn more about you and your work.
Sure. Well, obviously, go to jenkoffel.com and my contact information is there. But what's next for me is I've had a passion and desire. So I'm launching a program called Admired 100. And I'm running it actually with a business partner of mine that is honestly the most admired woman for me in my life that I know. And I really would love to help women that are at the point they have to be making at least 6 figures. to be qualified, but I want to take 100 women on this life journey of helping them to make 7, 8, 9 figures and do it in a way that would be admired.
Mm. Cool.
That, you know, really helping them with lifestyle, with sales and marketing, personal development, and wealth, like wealth building.
Nice.
Really teaching those things. And so it's a mastermind as well as a coaching program. And it's going to have a waiting list. There will be no more than 100. So someone would have to drop for someone else to come in. But I'm really excited about the impact that these 100 women will make. We're going to have awards and as well. And it's going to be a really an amazing group of a really powerful community. Like I think about putting that type of, you know, women together and the results that are going to come as they flourish and get to 7, 8, 9 figures in an admired way, mm-hmm. where their priorities are aligned. Right. And
it's whole body. It sounds like a whole, whole life experience. I love that approach to it. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting.
I'm super excited about it. Like it's probably the thing that's like culminated to like all the things I've done in my life. Like I believe this is the next step that, is going to be like my joy project. Like mm-hmm. the thing that is probably going to be, I mean, everything I do has been fulfilling. But it's a thing that I feel like, again, it's like that next step. I think that's what I'm like meant to do, and really the impact that these women are going to have in the world
and the legacy that leaves. I mean, that's super cool. That's super, super cool. And where can people learn more about that?
Well, we're just launching it right now. So again, if they want to contact me at jencoffel.com and get set up a time to talk about that. But we're just working on the pieces to be able to actually start bringing people into that next month. So I don't have the landing page up yet, but the admired100.com will be the link. So if people listen this much later, they can find out about it there. But yeah, thank you for the opportunity to share that. Like that is definitely, I like what you said. It's probably my legacy project. Yeah.
That's super cool. Super, super cool. So the final question I always close with are, what 3 pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Well, I think it will be a, one is you are one decision away from changing the rest of your life. Mm. Like one decision can absolutely change so many different things in your life. Number 2 is there's so, like what we've been talking about today, Cammie, like the importance of whatever work we do, that it's really aligned with our core values and our core genius, and not allowing everybody else or the other voices or even what imagined voices, what we think the market would want or say, but like really coming back to and really trusting that what you were created to do is what you're meant to do, and like aligning, keeping yourself aligned there in your core values, your soul values, what you would call it, and your core genius. And number 3 would be there's so much power in what you were talking about earlier about raising your vibration. And there's laws of this universe that are absolutely laws, like the law of gravity. They work, right? And when we are investing in ourselves and spending the time like visualizing our goals and having our affirmations and, you know, praying or meditating or like that hour of power every day of, you know, doing exercise and visualization, affirmations, and, you know, meditation, prayer, like all of that, like taking the time to center yourself every day to get in that high vibration.
Yes.
Then you attract, and everything becomes so much easier. It's like you're going with the flow versus like trying to go upstream, you know. Right. In entrepreneurship, there's so much coming at us, like to be able to relax and attract and again, that all kind of like comes together, you know, like, that would be the last one. The 3rd one that I would say is like, stay in that high vibration and do the things that are going to keep you there every day.
Yes. That's so important. I mean, it's, I can't stress that one as anymore. It's so important that we make that hour of time for us, ourselves every day, and just really self-love and make it a ritual. Make it this thing that we're having fun with and we're gifting to ourselves. So I love that. Love that. Oh, Jen, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us today and bringing all of your wisdom and all of your stories. And it's really been a pleasure.
Thank you for this platform and what you're doing to share with other women. I think it's beautiful. So
that's my joy. Yes, thank you.
Okay, sweetheart, have a good rest of your day. Bye, everybody.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend. Listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.